If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. As Peter writes his epistles, he's trying to encourage the church, trying to strengthen the church. He has something to say about grace. He has something to say about peace. And the second verse in this particular epistle has grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Then he goes on there in these next few verses and he talks about your saving grace. In so many words, he talks about you being saved. He talks about the nature that has been given, the partakers of his divine nature. We could say that Peter is talking to the church in this passage, and he's speaking about those who are walking in the light, who are faithful to God. They've been saved, been sanctified, they're walking in the light. Many precious promises have been given. But verse number 5, he picks up with something that really should be a focal point of all of our lives. Beside this, looking past your present experience, saved and sanctified, looking past, he gives us something else to consider. And it's not something that he suggests for us to take lightly, but it's something that he suggests or gives us very serious words, using the word diligence, something that we need to take into consideration here with more than just a passing thought, but of some strong realities of where we need to be and where we need or how we need to get there. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You've already received faith. You already experienced faith. You're walking in faith, but add to your faith. Back just a couple of months ago, I believe it was in May, that I preached from the last verse of this epistle, but grow in grace. And he's trying, Peter wants the people that he's writing to grow, to be fruitful, to be strong in the Lord. And here in the first chapter of this epistle, he's giving us the addition to our faith. Now, how important is this addition to our faith? You follow that down, and as he continues to go through, you'll come to a point where he said that if these things be in you, and abound. Another paraphrase, a translator says for that word abound, continually increase. So there's something to be said about what Peter's saying here, that it's more than just a passing thought. It's something that we need to take into serious consideration if we plan. Songwriter penned those words. I will go on. If we plan to go on, we're going to have to add to our faith. I want to give you results of supplementing your faith tonight. I'm not going to really talk about the supplements. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and those lists that's there. But I want to give you the results of supplementing your faith. Increasing in measure your faith. So when we look at the results, we would first of all realize that a result of supplementing our faith would be that of increased fruitfulness. Increased fruitfulness. A lot of times when we think about fruitfulness, we probably think about the outward, the fruitfulness on the outside, the tomato plants that produce a nice, beautiful red tomato and how we would enjoy eating them. The green beans, picking the green beans and canning them and having them to enjoy. The corn and all of the produce that you plant the seed and you expect fruit to come from it. You expect an abundance of fruit to come from it. Spiritually, there's something to be said for us to be fruitful in that we bear fruit in that sense as well, that there's a multiplication that takes place. But also there's a side of that fruitfulness that is beyond us multiplying on the outward and developing a people on the outside, but also there's fruitfulness for us on the spiritual side inwardly. We can look at fruitfulness from these angles of what it would be for us to gain or to be fruitful. And again, going to a paraphrase of the scriptures, it says a full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been so many times that I've heard people preach or I've listened to people speak about the Bible, and I've thought it'd be wonderful for them to be able to just take all of that information and transfer it over to my brain. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Take some of these great Bible scholars that have been able to really dig in, and they have a way of developing it and presenting it. Boy, if they could just somehow click a button and move to a new file right over here in my filing cabinet. That would be so good so many times. But that's part of being fruitful, that we learn or have an increased knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another part of that, another aspect of that, is that His image, as we learn Him and knowledge increases about Him, that His image is transferred to us. We take on more and more of the family resemblance. And I'm not going to spend any more time on that. We've heard that over and over again, and we understand the family resemblance, but it's important for us to keep it in mind, the spiritual family resemblance, likeness, His likeness. As we learn, as our knowledge increases of Christ, as His likeness is brought to our being, as we portray Him, we learn His thought patterns. We begin to think more in the realms of Christ-likeness. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's part of fruitfulness, is developing or having a developing thought pattern that patterns after what He thinks and what He did and the way He would talk about it. Pattern ourselves after Him and His thoughts. Now, as that thought pattern increases to where we continually more and more think in His thought patterns and having His thoughts to be our thoughts, it would lead us to a better understanding of His will. And quite frankly, we probably struggle with an understanding of His will more than what we ought to. We have a lot of battles sometimes understanding or knowing what His will is. I've wondered it for myself if it's just simply not the shortcoming of my own that I haven't spent developing an understanding that I should of Him to know His will. But to learn who He is. Verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does that all pattern? How does that all fit into our understanding of Him and our increased fruitfulness? That we should be neither barren nor unfruitful, but growing in Him. The second result you could see in this passage is not only an increased fruitfulness, but a sustained perception. This sustained perception is vital for us to make it, I believe. It's vital for us to keep it in perspective. Verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Sustained perception. How far out of the distance can you see? We can't see tomorrow. We can't see the day after. We really can't even see what's going to take place after this service is over with. We have no idea what future holds. But that's not what the writer is referring to, having a vision to see far away in that respect. I believe that what the writer is referring to is that we have a sustained perception in the realm of eternity, that we weigh things on the scale of our view of eternity. How valuable are things? How important are things in relationship to eternity? We should have heavenly values. Everything that we do needs to have that weighing taking place. Somehow we can transfer this thought of seeing afar off and keeping heaven in view and eternal values in view, I believe helps an awful lot in the way of children following in this path. Realizing the eternal values are greater than the earthly values. The heavenly perspective is greater than the temporal perspective. It's easy for us to get our eyes sidetracked today. There's so many things to sidetrack us today. Quite often we think of money as one. Most of us don't have too much problem with money. That's not the issue. The problem would be that we want more, and so our perception begins to shift to the desire to have rather than the value that heaven would place in our lives. Every single one of us here would probably say that I wouldn't mind having a little bit more than what I have in the way of monies. If we could only have just a little bit more, and once we had a little bit more, we would still want a little bit more. And when we continue down that road, we lose sight of eternal values. We lose sight of heavenly values. And Peter is saying that there's not only a problem of not seeing with heavenly values, but the problem would exist then even greater in a loss of perspective that will give the eyes a relish for the past sins. Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Do you see that in there? Not only do we need to keep heavenly values ever present before us to keep us on the path focused in his direction, but a lack of that perspective, not only does it give us something to wander around about, but probably go back to. Something that we really don't have any interest in as we long for heaven. Can we say tonight that we long for heaven? That we desire heaven? That we are pressing towards heaven? The third result of supplementing our faith would be assured perseverance. Perseverance has to come in pretty much in every part of our life. Why not allow it to be there spiritually? Peter said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Pretty strong words, aren't they? If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. There's an assured perseverance. There is a security. There is a stability. Because of our doctrinal persuasion, we don't want to use that word security. Because it's getting awfully close to eternal security. And yet Peter's given us a very vivid understanding that eternal security is a reality, but there's something that we must do. That you and I must follow the pattern in order to be stable, to be secure, realizing that it's not just simply by His grace. And ignoring my part and my actions or my deeds, my things. Sure, we rely on His grace. But it's an assured security because we are supplementing, we are experiencing the result of supplementing our faith. There's a diligence that's going on. Supplementing our faith gives us an assured perseverance. You will never stumble is the way that Weymouth said it. You will never stumble. That's encouraging words. You will never fall, King James has it. Does that encourage you tonight? Does that give you something to grow on tonight? That there is the possibility that I do not have to fall. I do not have to stumble. I can have security in Christ. Let's look quickly at the fourth one. Increased fruitfulness, sustained perspective, and assured perseverance gives us a promised promotion. Verse number 11, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. That paraphrase says, and so a triumphant admission into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be freely granted to you. I don't know a whole lot about Valentine Cook. Or is it Valentine Cook? I don't know. He was an old pioneer preacher in Kentucky. Something to be said about Kentucky and preachers, I think. One of those that served under Bishop Asbury. There's stories that abound about him. And I think it was, Dr. Godby that had a vision about him on the very night that he was dying. Doesn't say who had the vision. It just said a comrade in arms. And so since Godby's the one that penned it, I figured he's probably the one that had the vision. But he said this about Valentine Cook on the very night that he died. As a vision that he had from heaven. Enraptured in contemplation of the... got to change some of these words because they don't mean a whole lot to us. Enraptured in contemplation of the undescribable celestial glory, gazing upon the radiant throne, an angel comes flying rapidly through the gate, ringing the news, Valentine Cook is dying. Immediately God commands them to ring all the bells of heaven and blow all the trumpets. Forthwith all heaven is in commotion. Processions are parading in all directions, moving toward the gate, which is thrown wide open. Meanwhile, myriads of angels sweep out, shouting aloud, "Welcome home, Valentine Cook." What a vision. What a vision. I don't know exactly, you know, how it all took place or who it was necessarily, but apparently the person that had the vision had a high enough idea of this preacher Cook that there was something about him that they realized, that believed that God was going to have a grand parade when he entered the gates. What do you think about your grand entrance into heaven? I just barely got by. You know, Peter had something to say about that too. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where do the ungodly and the sinner appear? Do we want to take the chance of risk? Do we want to gamble with eternity? I think it was, again, Godby, I believe, that said, do not risk the tight squeeze into heaven lest you be squeezed out instead of in. But a promised promotion is ours as we supplement our faith to increase knowledge and in walking with the Lord, having our vision clarified with heavenly values. A promised promotion. It's not a matter of, oh, I will get by, but it's a matter of I will do everything that I can to make it in. There's a risk or a diligence that we will put to play in our lives. If you want to gamble, you can gamble on the stock market, and you'll probably lose. Don't gamble with eternity. We give diligence to eternity, to heavenly values. Make our calling and election sure. If you don't like that word election, why don't you say make your calling and adoption sure? Sometimes we get wrapped up with that word too, election. Just say your adoption. Is your calling and adoption sure? Because Peter said, if we do these things, just as simple as it can be, the results of supplementing our faith, having our faith is a reality, being saved by His grace is a reality, but it's more than just believing on His grace to get us in at the moment, but it's a supplementing of our faith that will bring the results that we want, and that end result is the one that we would long for, the promotion into His promised land. Stand with me this evening. Amen. Brother Sam Wagner, would you dismiss us in prayer?